walked in here today with a burden. Anybody have a burden? Okay, there's some of you. Here's a less fancy way of saying that. Who walked into the church today with expectations on them? Everybody should have some hand up, right? Because everyone has expectations on them. Everyone has all sorts of expectations on them. And I want to talk to you about expectations today. And for those of you who want to know what this has to do with Palm Sunday, you need to hang in there because we are going to bring it full circle back to Jesus. So let's go here for a second. I remember, and I have kids, so I love to talk about my kids. I remember when I was a little kid, I said these words sometimes. I want to make my daddy proud. Anybody ever heard that? Make my daddy proud. You know, I want to be like you, Dad. I want to walk in your shoes, Dad. I want to do the things that you do, Dad. And I, as a child, said this often. And so I'm going to say, the title of my service today is Make My Daddy Proud. You know, and what I mean by this in this context is, my daddy in this context is my heavenly father. My heavenly father is the one who, for those of you who want to know what the message is here, is the one who should be setting expectations for you. Your heavenly father is the one you should care about what he thinks about you. The Abba Father is your daddy. And so I want to talk about him. And I want to also say, though, you know, I have an earthly father. His name is Phil. He passed away recently. And that was hard for me. And my dad is in heaven today. And when I still think, even this moment, yeah, I want my daddy to be proud. So I know that all of you in this building can relate to making daddy proud. So the problem with this is expectations again. If dad's putting expectations on you that you can't meet, there's a warning sign. And so I want to put this up here front and center. I need you to focus in because expectations can be dangerous. Oh, yeah, they can. Expectations could change the way you live. What do you mean, Sean? Help me understand. So I wrote some examples. Some of us have expectations of a certain job that they're going to achieve or have or want. Maybe it's a certain level of income that they need to get through the day or to be happy. And you put these expectations on you, or perhaps people around you put these expectations on you because of what you see and hear and experience. Maybe the expectations on you are to be the perfect parent. I know there's a lot of young parents in here. Being the perfect parent is very difficult. Do all the right things, say all the right things, make everyone happy. Don't forget anything, right? Or maybe it's the perfect husband or perfect wife, right? I want to meet all his needs. I want to make sure she's never unhappy. I want to make sure the family is always together and protected. These expectations are around us everywhere we look. Maybe it's to be more like someone else. Maybe it would be more like your brother or your sister or more like some other guy or some other lady. I want to be more like dad. And you begin to put these expectations on you that potentially you can never meet. This world is full of it. So I just want you to get an understanding here on this particular point to think through your life and say, what expectations are on my life? Which ones do I feel are on my life? For you seniors out there, perhaps maybe the expectation is that you would want to do more than you're doing now. And perhaps it's even, well, you wish you were younger so you could do more and help others. And you put this expectation that somehow you need to do more, and you aren't able to do that, and you struggle. So you fill in the blank of what expectations are on you today as we go through this message, and lock it in, okay? Okay, we're there. So in order to give you a visual of what I mean about expectations, and what I mean about this, I could get some hands raised. How many people like to watch children? I mean, like to just, you like to look at kids, like to see them smile. Okay, some of the old people are like, wait a minute, if you mean babysitting kids, I am so done with that. So no, I'm not signing, I'm not raising my hand for that. Don't leave me with the baby. I have a little video I want to share you to express my point. So in this video, what you're going to see here is expectations. What you're going to see here is a child who wants to be like his daddy. You're going to see a child who says, I can walk in these shoes. I can do this. As you can see, my son here, this is Griffin, he's struggling with the fact. He is struggling with the ability to walk in daddy's shoes. Now look, he doesn't give up. He does not give up. My little son, he is doing a good job. Look at that. There he is. Yes. Thank you all, Griffin. So what I want to say about this is I look at this video and I say things like, he's so cute. Or you may say, oh. All right, give me a shot. You all can say it. It is cute. We see this kind of thing all the time. Every one of you has a mental image of a story of your kids walking in your shoes, or you've seen some child trying to be more like mom or dad with the makeup or the purse. And we laugh and we giggle. And this is the point I'm trying to make. Is Griffin, in this case, this is very difficult for him to do. I want to say very clearly, you guys, Griffin cannot walk in my shoes. He's trying. He's failing. He ultimately gets to where he's going, but this is not ideal for him. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that there's something to say about who you are, where you are, and what God has given you. And sometimes we think about someone else, some other expectation, some other role that we should be filling, and therefore we set an expectation that's unreasonable. Okay, Sean, it's time for the Word of God. You guys ready for the Word of God? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I praise you. I ask you, Lord God, to bring the Word of God clear, first to me, Lord God, in what we need to say to this church and what we need to say to the people amongst us. And Father God, I pray that that clarity of Word comes true through the microphone and through the speakers to everyone in the building, that they understand what you were trying to say to Kingsway this very day. In your name, amen. The Word of God, God's Word, this is what it's about. Anything that we say, preach, or do should be rooted in their Word of God. So what I'm going to talk about today is 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a story of David and Goliath. So for those of you who don't know the story of David and Goliath, this is a very famous story. It's actually a biblical story. It's one that took place in the Old Testament. It means many, many, many years ago. And what happened is pretty simple. You see, back then, people conquered other towns and cities and villages. And in this case, the Palestinians came in to conquer the Hebrew people. And they came in with a great army. And they came up to the army and said, I'm going to conquer you. And they brought their army people and they brought their man of war, Goliath. This man of war was something like, 9-10 feet tall. He had a massive armor, a massive sword. He had never lost a battle before. And he comes to the Hebrew people and effectively says, I will kill you. And I hate your God. And I hate who you are. And I hate what you stand for. And the story goes pretty simply that there was this man, David. And I think that's not even all entirely true. There was this boy, David, who at the time, he was part of this whole situation. He heard what was going on. And David, as a boy, decided to make a tremendous decision and fight this Goliath. Now, here's what's interesting, and I want you to get a hold of this. David, in this case, he didn't do it because he was a great warrior. He didn't do it because he was scared for his life. He didn't do it to protect his family. He didn't do it because he thought it'd bring him fame. Why did he do it? Let's take a look here. So I want to read from you, if those of you have your Bibles. If not, I'm going to read this for you. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Leave it up on this slide here. It says, this is David talking. And he says to Saul, who was the king, by the way, who was a great warrior, by the way, he says to this king warrior, he says, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. I got this. You know, I got to imagine Saul's kind of chuckling now. Saul says in reply, don't be ridiculous. He says, don't be foolish. There's no way you could fight the Philistine. Well, you could fight him, but there's no way you could possibly win, David. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. Translation, you don't got a prayer. Listen how David replies. David says in verse 34, but David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. By the way, if you're going to get aggressive and talk about your past accomplishments in war, you probably shouldn't start with sheep and goats. However, sheep need a shepherd, and David knew this. David says, when I was a shepherd, a lion or a bear could come to steal a lamb of the flock, and I would go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I will catch it by the jaw, and I will club it to death. Think of that visual for a second. This little kid grabbing a lion or a bear and clubbing it to death. Like, that usually doesn't end well. Then he says in verse 36, know this, I have done this before to both lions and bears. And now I will do this again to this pagan, this blasphemer of our God, for he's defiling the living God. You see, David didn't do this because he wanted to protect himself or his family or even the Jewish people. He did this because he knew he had to honor his God. He did this because of the expectation that God put on his life. And in so doing, he accomplished so many other things. But the expectation came from the Lord. Now listen to this in verse 37. Here's what I want to get to. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. So Saul says, well, okay then. He says, all right, go ahead. And may the Lord be with you. So you may not have a prayer, but you at least have one prayer. Right? See, the Lord can put expectations on you that he can fulfill through you. The Lord can put expectations on you that he can fulfill through you. Do you see that? If David tried to do this on his own, he was out of luck. It's a bloodbath. But the Lord ushered him into this, and he was able to succeed. Okay. I'm going to put this on the screen today for you guys. Hit the next slide. You can read it with me. Then Saul gave David his own armor. Remember we preached about the armor of God last week? This is the same story. It's the armor of God. He said, Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. That was pretty prestigious armor back then. David put it on. He strapped his sword over it. And he took a step, and then two, to see what it was like. He never worn such magnificent armor. Such things before. I can't go in these. This won't work for me. I'm just not used to it. Clank, clank, clank. You get the picture? Do you get the picture? Maybe we give you a more modern day picture. Amen, brother.
I can't hear you.
Son, what exactly are you doing?
Dad, I'm preaching.
I thought I was supposed to be preaching.
No, I'm preaching. I'm filling your shoes, Dad.
You're filling my shoes? Well, you look a little silly. Do you think?
Yes.
How do you feel? Honestly, how do you feel?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, you think he looks uncomfortable? I would say he looks uncomfortable. I mean, I get what you're going for here. But something's just not right. What is it?
They don't fit.
They just don't fit. You see, if we begin to look to our right and our left at what everyone else is doing and think that's what we need to be doing, we begin to put expectations on us that God did not. As we enter into prayer and as we seek God, whether we are a teenager figuring out what to do about college, whether we are middle schooler figuring out what to do about what sport to play, whether we are a young adult trying to figure out who our spouse is to be, whether we are young professional trying to figure out what to say to our boss, whether we are senior citizen trying to figure out who to pray and who to give our time and our resources to, or whether we are in the leadership team at Kingsway, if we look to our right and our left, we will not be able to fulfill the expectations that we put on ourselves. Sean, I don't know if I'm quite getting it. What I'm saying is it could be so hard, it could look like this. It could look like this. You see, the baby's cute. And there are plenty of people who can deadlift 325 pounds. But that baby's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Look at his face. Aww. You see my point. The weights were just sitting there. The baby walked up thinking, wait a minute, here's an opportunity. I can do this. I got an opportunity in front of me. I'm going to grab this bar. Wait a minute, it's not moving. It's not a toy. This is real life. This is meaningful. This is going to do something. He begins to cry. What I want to share with you is this concept that I need you to get a hold of really clearly. And so I've been racking my brain with how to make you all remember what I'm talking about. And so as I began to pray about that, the Lord brought to my attention some sayings when I was a kid, when I was a young person. And it immediately struck a memory in my mind. And you know, sometimes what Satan means for evil, God means for good. And the saying was not a saying that was in religious circles. It was a pop culture saying. And it stuck in my mind. And as I began to think about that and why that stuck in my mind, why that came to mind, the Lord began to share with me that that is what I'm trying to say to all of you. And so he helped me tweak the message a little bit so that I could make sure it applies to what we're saying today on Palm Sunday. And so the answer to what I'm saying is how to avoid these dangerous expectations, how to make sure we don't put on armor that we don't belong putting on, how can we make sure that we are successful with what God, our Father, our Daddy, has given us, I have a saying for you. For young people, you're going to know this right away. For old people, you're going to have to hang in there for a second. Are you ready? Are you guys ready for this? Okay, hit it, Matthew. I want you to shake what your daddy gave you. Shake what your daddy gave you. In the beginning of the service, we sung a song called Shake. That was on purpose. It was a song about we are so excited about what God is doing in our life, the changes he's making in our life, that we can't help but shake. Now, Pentecostals, you better get a hold of this. If Pentecostals don't know what it means to shake, then you may not know what it means to be Pentecostal. Because this power and spirit of God can be on you in such a real way that it can literally cause you to shake. But what I'm talking about today is our daddy has given you and me gifts. He's given you and me talents. He's given you and me very specific things that we are to be using every day and not looking to the right or left at what his gifts are or her talents are. I'm not supposed to be trying to put on her armor or shake his gift. I'm supposed to look inside. I'm supposed to come to church. I'm supposed to seek him and figure it out. What in the world did God put me here for? And when I figure it out, I'm supposed to shake it. Step one, how do you shake what your daddy gave you? I gave you a three-step plan here. Everyone likes three steps. I put three little feet at the top so you know what step we're on. We're on step one. Get comfortable with you. Get comfortable with you. So this one's easy. You know, I had Austin come up out to do the object lesson and to explain to us that he was uncomfortable wearing all that. It was uncomfortable, right? And he explained that, you know, he was filling my shoes. He's filling my role. He thought it was a good, you know, this is what preachers do. They dress up and they look like that. They get up and they do his thing. He was trying to do that. But he was uncomfortable with who he is. And so the point here is some of us need to take the clothes of expectations off today. Some of you parents need to take the expectation of being a perfect parent off. Some of you dads need to take the expectation of being the perfect provider. Let's use that word. Being the perfect provider and protector, right? It's impossible to please everyone at work, to please everyone at home, to please everyone at church. That is not our role. And we put these expectations on us that somehow we can be successful in everywhere we go because God is just going to make it all happen. You see, the reality is we deal with real people in the real world, and some of those people could care less about God, and they're going to come in and blaspheme just like Goliath did and say, I don't care what you have to say. I don't care who you are. I will kill you. And if you put the expectations that you're just going to kill them back, you're going to lose. And we need to seek God and find out what expectations should he put on us, because when the Lord puts expectations on us, he can work them through us. So step one, you need to get comfortable with you. Some of you got some really awesome talents, and they're sitting on the bench. Some of you feel like you need to try some other talents elsewhere, and so you're trying things you're not comfortable with. I want to see you guys determine what it is your role in Kingsway is going to be as we grow this church, because we need you. I need you to get comfortable with who you are, not what somebody else thinks you should be. Step two. Now, this is a good one here. You've heard the saying from the word, what is it? Is it Corinthians? Philippians. Be instant in season and out of season, right? This is the word teaching us that we need to be able to preach the word or evangelize the word, whatever the occasion is. Always. So my translation of this is, be ready to be you. Be ready to be you. Be ready in season and out of season to do what you do. Maybe that's just you pray for people. Maybe you like praying for people. Be ready to do that. In the narthex, here, out there, in the lobby, anywhere, be ready to do that. Maybe some of you, like to worship and you believe that brings the presence of God. Worship more. Maybe you're an interceder. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you like to help people move things. I don't know what it is. Find it out. Figure it out and just be you and do it. But here's the trick, guys. So I want to make sure I want to say this. Some of you need to look to God for expectations, not those around you. So I know it sounds like the same thing, but here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that. Some of you have some really good talents, but sometimes they come out at the wrong time. Uh-oh. What do you mean by that? Maybe Austin could help us again. Okay. What's the play? Son, I'm trying to do a sermon here. So, son, what exactly are you doing?
Playing basketball.
Playing basketball. This is a church service. You know that, right?
Oh.
So, well, you look like you're playing the part there pretty good. How do you feel?
Uncomfortable.
You feel uncomfortable again. Why do you feel uncomfortable this time?
Because I'm not dressed for the right occasion.
Not dressed for the right occasion. Thank you, Austin. Son. Shake what your daddy gave you. In other words, the Lord has given, let's take Austin, basketball talents, and he's given him the ability to perform well on the basketball court, but he needs to know when to do that and when not to do that. Well, church service is clearly the time not to do that. But even in my experiences, you know, here in church, you know, with Jeremy and Brian and Chad and Jeff and with Chris specifically, I've played a lot of sports with these guys and the Lucas boys. And I've had to learn through that. When is the time to turn it on and when is the time to turn it off? Even on a basketball court, even on an athletic court. It's hard lessons to learn. I got to learn how to be me and be ready to be me. Not just the basketball me or the football me, but the preacher me, the prayer warrior me. I need to be ready to be the guy who's got some compassion me, not just the guy who's scoring points me. And some of you have talents and some of you have abilities, but sometimes you aren't taking too much sensitivity to the situation. And you're just pushing forth with what you do all the time, all the time, all the time, because you're good at it, and it's not the right timing. I'm not asking you to shut it down. What I'm asking you to do is be ready to be you. And when the time to be you presents itself, be you. Are you following? This is what David did. David said, I am uncomfortable with this armor. It is not me. Get it off. And then he said, I need to go fight this Philistine, but I'm not a warrior. I'm going to grab my five shiny stones, and I'm going to go out there and be who I am. You know who that is? A servant of the Heavenly Father, of the living God, of the conqueror, of the Prince of Peace, of the great I am, of the Jehovah Jireh, of the Alpha and the Omega, of the beginning and the end, of the I can't lose if he's on my side. Servant. And so what did he do? He went out there and he went with his bad self. That's another way of saying it. He went out there, he took his stones, and he told Goliath, I'm going to take you down. Now, I know the kids are here, so I don't want to get too gruesome, but the Bible says, he said literally he's going to cut his head off. And he's going to like feed him to like the birds. I mean, it's pretty grotesque. The point is he's saying that if you are going to defile my God, I'm going to come at you with all I got. Be ready to be you when the time is right. You hear me? Great. Step three. This is the one that I don't have a problem with. It's the first two I'm still working on. This one is get excited with you. What do I mean about that? Let me be very clear. God has given each and every one of you things that only you can do. And if only you can do it, then you need to get pretty excited about what God is going to do through you. I get very excited about what God's going to do through me because I can't wait to see what it's going to look like and what's going to happen. But I'm telling you right now that there are so many of you out there that feel like what you do is just mundane or trivial or boring. And yet you don't realize that God is using you as a Lego block. He's using you to create something that he could not do without you, and that lives are being changed by every action you make. The Bible literally says to be faithful in the little things. Every penny we spend, every minute, every word, be faithful in those little things and be excited about being who you are because God needs you. He sent you to this planet to be exactly that. So here's another way of saying this. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Some of you need to remember that when God split the rivers, the Red Sea, the Jordan, when God sent fire from heaven, when God crumbled the walls of the great cities, he needed us. He used us. We are expected to do our part. God will split rivers with you. God will bring walls down with you. God will bring fire from heaven for you. You just need to get a little excited about that. I'm not saying you're not going to be nervous about what he's got planned for you. You need to be a little excited. You know, Alicia, I cannot thank you enough for what you did for me today. Alicia and I, we were talking, and she said to me last week that I want to help out with Sunday school, and I want to lead a Sunday school. And we talked this week, and she put it together, and I was very excited to hear her come into her own armor. Because I knew she's wise. She's wise. I don't have to tell her that. I knew she wasn't going to try my armor. She wasn't going to try it my style. I knew she was going to do it her way. And so I didn't have to give her much guidance. And then guess what happened? I got here all excited to go into Sunday school. And guess what happened? 100 things happened. The computer crashed. The sound didn't work. The video was sideways. I had to pray with somebody. I had to have a meeting with somebody else. That was important. It had to happen for all this to happen. And I didn't get to spend even 2 minutes in there with my sister Alicia. But I know, because everyone came out talking about how she helped explain Palm Sunday and explain how Jesus loves us and how Jesus is working through us, that God used her today in her own armor. Thank you, Alicia. I need you to get excited with you. Alicia has taught me in a very sincere way at what getting excited with you is all about. Alicia and I are both very excited people. But if you spend any minutes with us, you'll realize that her reaction and my reaction are very different. But she's excited with her because she's excited about what God does through her. Do you see my point? She's teaching all of us what it means to be excited about what God is doing. Okay, so I'm almost at end here. I want to bring this back to Palm Sunday. But before I do, I want to remind you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about shaking what your daddy gave you. Now, this is Austin, Tanner, Simon. Turn around, son. Do you feel comfortable?
Yes.
Do you feel silly?
No.
Are you ready?
For what?
For an amazing service. Are you excited?
For what?
That amazing service. All right, son, I need you to now not worry about basketball. Don't worry about preaching. Just sit and encounter God. Go, bud. So that's Austin shaking it. On the screen, on the screen we have Griffin. This is what Griffin looks like in his own shoes. This is what Griffin looks like in his own getup. Notice he's not falling down anymore. Notice he can do his thing. This is Griffin shaking what his daddy gave him. He's excited. He's showing each and every one of us, look at what we're capable of doing when we are outfitted with what God has given us and what we are capable of doing when we just be ourselves. Okay. Now, for the purist in the audience, that means there are some among us who say, Sean, this is a holy day. This is Palm Sunday. This is the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about on this Sunday? Now I need you to focus because you're going to get it, and you're going to get it good right now. You can flip to the next slide. You see, the Gospels of Jesus Christ are in the New Testament. The Gospels are four stories by four authors, different people, who all hung around Jesus Christ. They each wrote their story in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the first four books of the New Testament. When you read these books, you see all these great and wonderful stories about who Jesus is. Sometimes you hear stories that overlap. Some two people tell the same story. In some cases, they tell completely different stories. Very rarely do all four people recount the exact same story. And when they do, it must be pretty important. One of the events that all four people recount very, very accurately and very, very harmoniously, meaning it all was the same story, was the story of Palm Sunday. It's called in the Bible the triumph of entry. What does it mean? It's a story, and you can look in Matthew 21, which was the scripture I have up, but you can look in John or Mark or Luke, pick your book that you prefer, and you can look it up and you'll find the same story in there. It's a story about Jesus Christ, who led a ministry at the age of 33 and began to change people's lives. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. He depossessed people, took demons out of people. He was able to profoundly change people's lives with a word or an action. And in all of that time, he didn't enter Jerusalem. And then he had to come to Jerusalem. And at that time when he came to Jerusalem, something really, really important happened. This is why we commemorate Palm Sunday. What does Palm Sunday mean? What is this all about? Palm are the things that you guys have. They're tree branches, by the way. you go to Florida, you'll see lots of palm trees. My wife loves palm trees. Palm trees are everywhere. And what happened back in the Roman Empire was when people returned back from victory, from a great army or a great battle, the town and the city would lay the branch, or take the tree branches off, would lay them down in front of the victor and allow the armies and the kings to walk over it like a red carpet. Okay? And so when you read the triumphal entry, you hear about the people in Jerusalem doing this very thing. They were so excited that their king was coming to Jerusalem. Now, I need you to understand the context here, because this is what is so important. Jesus Christ had a lot of expectations on him. Those expectations came from everyone around him. Those expectations about this particular day were extremely profound. The Hebrew people were under occupation. It means they were under oppression from the Roman Empire. They did not want the Roman people defiling their holy city. They were in Jerusalem. They knew from the prophecies that a Savior would come, a Messiah, it means Savior, a King would come with his army, and he would take over the Roman Empire and give Jerusalem back to the Hebrew people. That's what the Hebrew people believed. That's what they wanted, a king to physically save them. They shout out the words, Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you know what those words mean? Those are Hebrew words. They mean very specifically, save me now. It's a plea for help. It's beseeching the king to intervene. Many of these people have never seen Jesus. They were expecting a royal entry, and so they gave them a royal welcome with the palm. But what did Jesus do? He clearly could have walked into that city and brought down, he said it, 10,000 angels and destroyed the Roman Empire and took throne. He could have, but he didn't. What did he do? If you look, and it says it in all four Gospels, I just picked this one because I like it. It says in Matthew 21, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, this is Jesus talking, Zechariah 9:9. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming. But he is humble. He's riding not on a white horse with a sword, not with armies of legions behind him. He's riding on a donkey and a donkey's colt, his baby. A donkey and a donkey's colt. Does that sound like a triumphant king? Does that sound like a military general? Does that even sound like somebody capable of taking down the Roman Empire? No. Because his expectations were from God. And God, literally through prophecy, told him to do this. And that is what he did. Not those around him who demanded that he enter and save them. What do you mean, Sean? I mean this was the course of history. Not just the Hebrew people. When they realized that Jesus wasn't going to take over the city, what did they do? They turned their back on him. They gave him up. When Judas realized he wasn't going to take over the city, he literally sold him out. When one of his closest disciples realized that this was not going to be victorious, Peter literally denies him. What are you saying, Sean? Our expectations on God, we need to be very careful with what they are. God is not here to just listen to you cry whenever you have a problem and answer your prayers so that you can go on being a happy person. That is not what God died for. God is asking us to get on our hands and knees and beg for forgiveness of our sin and our poor decisions. And then he's asking us to seek him for our purpose here on this planet to help one another. And when you put that expectation on God, he will deliver. The other expectations, you better watch out. You may be a little disappointed, but don't be mad at him because he's got a plan. If Jesus listened to all of you, he'd done take over that city and none of us been saved. But he didn't listen to all of us or the Hebrew people, thank God. And he laid his life down, thank God. And he entered into a battle, thank God, that was not physical, but it was very spiritual. And thank God, we are the benefactors of it. I'm going to close here, but you see my point now about Palm Sunday and expectations. They literally cried out, Son of David, save us. Which is what led me to David. And then I realized, what's so big about David? Yeah, he was a king. Yeah, he was a great champion. Of course, the Hebrew people loved him. And Jesus is reminding me, it's David who took off the armor. It's David who said, I'm going to honor God in all that I do. And while I realize that there is a physical victory to happen, there needs to be a spiritual warfare first. What do you mean, Sean? I'm closing right here. Hit the next slide. You see, this is a man who has achieved a physical victory. This is where we want to be. We want to conquer what's in front of us. We want to get over the obstacle of health or finances or emotional challenges or our family or you fill the blank of what is in your way. We want to get over that. So that's where we want to be. But guess where we are? Show us where we are, Matt. We're here. You know these maps, right? We are here. And in order to go from here to there, Matt, what do we got to do? We got to do that. And we have all sorts of journeys we like to put on. But the Lord says to trust in him, to lean not on our own understanding, and he will be a lamp unto our feet. He will set our path straight. And if you continue reading, what has he said? He said, this is going to happen. Yep, spiritual warfare. Brother Palomo preached it last week. He gave you all the areas of spiritual warfare, whether you realize it or not, families and friends, whether you recognize the spiritual warfare or not makes no difference. Whether you recognize electricity flowing through these walls or lighting up these light bulbs makes no difference. They're lit. Whether you realize that the images on the screen right now, while they're interesting, are being controlled by Matthew up there, makes no difference if you believe that or not, because it's happening. Spiritual warfare is happening. You need to be ready for spiritual warfare. David said, I am going to win this physical battle by entering into spiritual warfare. Jesus Christ himself said, I will save Jerusalem. I will save all the Hebrew people and all the Gentiles, but I will do it through a spiritual battle first. You guys understand that? Are you with me? Okay. How can you do that? How can you do that? Hit the button. What can we do now? So this is easy. I'm not going to throw anything new on you. I just want to recount. I want to pray for you guys. I want to get excited about what God is going to do for us in the weeks to come. What you can do now is very simple. So this is where you'll never forget it. You can hit it, Matt. Shake what your daddy gave you. Jesus Christ, he shook it. He said, I'm not going to worry about what all you were telling me to do. I'm going to get on my donkey. I'm going to go in there knowing full well you guys are going to give me a beatdown. David said, I know full well that this giant could kill me. But God, you gave something to me. It's not this ability to fight. It's not this ability to understand what to do. You gave this ability inside of me to trust in you. And I'm going to do that. I need you guys to get comfortable with you. And you get that comfort through looking to Jesus Christ. You know, the world has figured this out, by the way. Last night as I was taking a break watching March Madness. Yes, preachers watch March Madness. Watching March Madness. A lot of praying going on during March Madness, the basketball tournament. There was a commercial that came on. And you know, if you watch any TV, you'll see this commercial. And I thought it was, I thought it made a good point. I had the word somewhere. It's gone now. So the point of the commercial was this. It was a bunch of different young men. And it was, it said, you know, it had some sayings. What do you need an athletic body for if you have a great nose? Had this guy with this really cool nose, right? And he was all excited. And then the next one says, what do you need a nose for if you got the hair? And I had this guy with hair like Griffin, you know, just crazy hair, just all out there. And it says, what do you need the hair for when you got the fun? And it had somebody like Lance who was just, you know, all out there. Right? And it kept going. And then the commercial ended with, you don't need somebody else's thing when you got your thing. The world has figured out that there's something about you as an individual. The problem is the world wants you to express your individualism despite what it does to those around you. And what we're trying to say is God has given you something so uniquely specific. He's given you a purpose so important that when you fulfill it, you will be purpose-driven to those around you? Who needs the person next to you when you have what God has given you? Okay? So, look, husband and wives, I love my wife, and she is good to me. And I could not live or preach or do anything I do without her. But there are certain things that I got to be comfortable with in myself. I got to be ready to be me when the time comes to provide or the time comes to protect. And I got to be excited about that, not always stressed out. The stress sometimes we bring on ourselves, right? All right, family and friends. So we are at time now. And I tell you guys, I want to end by saying thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and to share the word of God with you the way that I do. This sermon wasn't for you. In a way, it was for you as individuals, and I hope it speaks to you. But this sermon was a sermon that God's been preaching to me for the last 6 months. I need to be me, guys. And when I preach, and when I support the leadership team, and when I help Chris and Bill, this is who I am. I say crazy things. I'm loud at times. I get excited. I put things in different contexts. And that's important because that's what God has given me. And I'm doing that, guys, so that you guys see what it's like for God to move in someone's life and to be themselves. And I want to see that happen in every one of you and help in any way that I can. And so does the leadership team and the pastoral team. And when we do that, this church will reach this community. I assure you of that. Because this community needs help. And they need people who are firm in who they are and can be stable and can explain to them how this world works with a little bit of love. Because plenty of people in this community haven't seen that love. You guys ready to give it? You guys ready to shake what your daddy gave you? All right, you got to do this for me. You got to do this for me before I close out. How many people are willing to say, shake what your daddy gave you? How many people willing to say? Ready? One, two, three. Oh, that's awesome. You're not going to hear that in many Pentecostal churches, I'll tell you that. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you're an awesome God. Father God, thank you so much for who you are and Father God, what you are doing. Father God, I will stop for a moment and say, you are the great I am. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father God, you are our counselor. Counsel us. You are our Prince of Peace. Bring us peace. You are our Comforter. Comfort us. You are our Provider. Provide for us. But Father God, I recognize you are our Judge, and you will judge us. But Father God, you are merciful and gracious. Give us your mercy and grace. Father God, we stand before you as a church who wants to be who we are. Father God, rise up the identity of Kingsway Christian Center. Change that DNA as we preach this message in each and every one of us to let us know, Lord God, that we can be comfortable with who we are, that we can be ready to go into this community, and we better get excited for what's about to happen. Father God, you have said these things so clearly to me, and Father God, you aren't worried about the roof or the parking lot. Father God, you aren't worried about this building per se, because Lord, you have taken care of it. You are waiting to see how we will steward it. And Father, we will not let you down. And Father, this community, this Easter service next week, we pray for it. We ask that you go ahead and prepare the way for this community to come into this church. You prepare our hearts and minds to speak to them and to be friendly to them and to put our arms around and love them, to bless them with gifts, Lord God, and to show them, Lord, what loving families look like in the community. And Lord, let them do Easter egg hunts and hear great services and meet great friends. Father God, make it happen because we need you to. And Father God, we are ready to fight whatever battle you need us to fight. If that Goliath comes, we as a church, we will rise up. Not to protect Kingsway, not to protect the building, not for pride, but Lord, we will rise up to honor you. In all that we do, in all that we say, we glorify your name. And the church says, amen.